Without life, we have nothing. That is the slogan of Issues for Life. Issuesforlife.org is their website, and the word four is the number four. The Reverend Walter Hoy is our guest. He runs Issues for Life. He's based in California. In fact, we've had him on the program before, and you may recall him. He always wears a baseball cap, and it says, Got Jesus, and he wears sunglasses. And he used to be involved a lot in sidewalk picketing, peaceful sidewalk picketing in front of an abortion clinic in Oakland, California. And eventually, thankfully, that abortion clinic shut down. But we're going to get his perspective and the perspective of other pro-life leaders in California in reference to Kamala Harris. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Walter Hoy, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's great to be back. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I remember when I first got to meet you, I was asking you about David DeLayden because the story was relatively new. For those who don't know or don't remember, David DeLayden did all those undercover videos, and yet the Attorney General of California at the time, Kamala Harris, went after him big time. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, let me first say this, that there was a reason why they moved David DeLayden's case from Texas to California. And Kamala Harris is one of the big reasons why they did that. When you take a look at Kamala Harris and her extremely troubling relationship or record as Attorney General with the David DeLayden case, you're going to be scratching your head because there's so many things that she did. Like, she completely ignored the videotape evidence of Planned Parenthood executives selling baby body parts. And then on top of that, in court, on the witness stand, under oath, these executives confirmed that, yes, they did. They were involved in selling baby body parts. And yet she can find nothing wrong with Planned Parenthood, and yet she can prosecute David DeLayden.
Okay, tell us what she actually did when she was the Attorney General. I understand there was like an early morning raid to his apartment or something like that.
Yeah. David is on record for talking about how she approved an early morning raid at his own residence. Now, this is criminal, and he's very specific about it, and you can find this anywhere you want to. But David DeLayden is on record for saying that Kamala Harris approved a raid into his own residence to secure any other videos that he might have regarding Planned Parenthood and their selling of baby body parts.
And what's interesting about this is that the principle of underground journalism, or, you know, going undercover, that happens all the time. We see it with 60 Minutes, for example. I guess the difference is, in his case, he was making a point that was politically incorrect, that, hey, unborn babies are being killed, and they're not only being killed, they're being killed in such a way as to harvest the baby body parts.
Absolutely. Not only was the raid of David's home a violation of the First Amendment, but the Planned Parenthood officials were actually involved in the sale and harvesting of aborted baby body parts. It's a federal crime. This is a no-brainer. This should have been done a long time ago. They should have been found guilty, and we should have moved on from there. But instead, oh my goodness, David DeLayden is still fighting in court for his life.
Yeah, and I understand he's even countersued now, I guess, against Planned Parenthood for slander.
Oh, he has, and we're looking forward to see what that's going to actually come out. But while he was here in California under the auspices of Attorney General Kamala Harris, she was as biased as you can imagine. And, oh, my goodness, it didn't matter what David's constitutional rights were. It didn't matter what was happening literally on videotape in front of everybody. It didn't even matter what their own confessions were regarding the harvesting of baby body parts. They still found problems with David DeLayden.
Okay, what are your thoughts about Kamala Harris, considering the fact that she's not only a vice presidential candidate, but if Biden wins, chances are he's not going to finish his one term, and then she would become the U.S. president. And she's kind of strongly pro-abortion, is she not?
Oh, there's no question she's pro-abortion, and there's also no question she's looking forward to being president. I mean, if you listen to her in her own words, she's struggling with the word vice president.
Yeah.
And so we need to work harder than we have ever worked before to get President Trump elected. And I'm hoping that everybody will join me in that effort.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that President Trump is going to make a larger dent in terms of getting African Americans to vote for him than any previous Republican president? And I'm asking you, since I know you're a leader in the African American community, what are your thoughts on that?
Let me tell you, back in 2016, we were asked by the Republican National Committee to do what we could for Donald Trump, who was the, you know, nominee for presidency. And we worked very hard, and we moved much more than the 1 or 2% that they were asking for, and President Trump got elected. Now, oh my goodness, we've got Black Americans coming out of every state, out of every corner, in support for President Trump. I believe that he's going to move the dial greatly. We were excited that we moved it about 4%. We were asked only to move it 2% back in 2016. But in 2020, oh my goodness, I think there's going to be a whole lot of Black Americans voting for President Donald Trump.
But Joe Biden said if you don't know who to vote for, you aren't Black.
That's as racist as could possibly be. See, that's one of the biggest problems. We can't really have an honest conversation. Joe Biden is clearly racist and as racist as can be. And if that's not clear enough for you, then you're completely blind to racism anywhere and everywhere you might find it.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting thing. The it does seem like there are some trying to use the race card in order to, you know, wallop Trump.
Well, yes, they are. But they're finding that under President Trump, Black Americans have prospered more than any other president in this country, with the exception of President Abraham Lincoln.
Wow, that's interesting. And I understand that the president has helped with Black colleges and, you know, not just some sort of token thing, but actual help where they don't have to keep going hat in hand, trying to go to these foundations and get more money. He's sort of did it in a way that will help long term.
President Trump saved historically Black colleges. They were looking at closing programs. They were looking at laying people off. They were looking at slowing down, shutting down. But oh my goodness, President Trump stepped up and did what no other president did. He essentially saved historically Black colleges. I haven't even started talking about the Black unemployment rate. I haven't started talking about jobs. There's so much that President Trump has done, including Dr. Martin Luther King's home being now a part of the, you know, Federal Reserve. It's incredible what he has done, and it's incredible how many Black Americans have stepped up publicly and said, I'm voting for President Trump.
But then we see all the riots, and then we see the leaders of Black Lives Matters. In fact, one of the leaders of Black Lives Matters, one of the three co-founders, said something like, our highest priority is to defeat Donald Trump. How does that work?
Oh, my goodness. Black Lives Matter. That's such an embarrassment. They don't care about Black lives, and especially Black lives in the womb. They're communists. They're socialists. And that was for a long time, even on their website. They don't even want Black men or men, period, to be leaders in their home. And oh, my goodness, what has hurt Black America more than not having intact families? I don't know. I don't know. You could almost put that as number one on the list of high priorities. Black Lives Matter is a shame, and I'm embarrassed that they're even using the term Black Lives Matter.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, this I don't know poll-wise. I did see one poll from Gallup, and it said in reference to black Americans in general, African Americans, that 81%, this is a Gallup poll, 81% of them are not in favor of defunding the police. Am I to understand from you that Black Lives Matters, they certainly don't speak for you, but maybe they don't speak for a lot of other blacks? In other words, maybe it's just more of a small minority within, you know, the group.
Oh, no, they don't speak for the vast majority of black Americans. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan in the 60s. I understood what the civil rights movement was all about. And there is nobody talking about, well, we want to defund the police. Anybody that's grown up in the hood knows that we do not want to defund the police. And you can find that on YouTube. You can just get on YouTube and just search that. You'll see black men and black women said, oh, no, we need police in our communities.
As far as the issue of abortion is concerned, do you think that sometimes because abortion does involve the taking of a human life, an innocent human life, that there's a link between the hardening of the hearts from those who participate in abortion, and then they go out and then they do violence in the streets? In other words, it's just like what Mother Teresa said. If we can accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell others not to kill one another?
Jerry, Mother Teresa was right, and that's the problem. There is a hardening of the heart. And that's why there is such a need for abortion recovery programs. And I just love programs like No Longer Bound, Everlasting Light Ministries. And there are others that provide this type of healing of the heart. And we need that desperately.
And we have about 2 minutes left. Do you want to just recap what your own story was? Because I remember we first met you because you went to jail just for doing peaceful pro-life sidewalk counseling, and then at the end of the day, God eventually closed down that abortion clinic that you had been picketing in front of.
Praise God. He honored my efforts there. I was literally standing on a public sidewalk holding a sign that said, God loves you and your baby, let us help you. It was in Oakland, and the sisters would come to the abortion clinic, but when they see a preacher standing on the sidewalk, they would walk up to me. I would confirm that, yes, God loves you. I would confirm that, yes, God loves you and your baby. And yes, when she told me what she needed, we delivered. When you help people, everything can change.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Walter Hoy, issuesforlife.org. That's issues, the number 4, life.org. Any closing thought, Walter, in 30 seconds?
Now, I want to confirm what you already said. Without life, nothing matters. It doesn't matter what you got waiting on you when you get out the womb. If you can't get out the womb, nothing matters.
Okay, Walter Hoy, thanks again for being with us. God bless.
Bye-bye.